This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
A wiretap requires a court order.
The day of the blank check for the president in war is over.
From now on, you will speak only when spoken to.
If they want a president who doesn't believe in God, there's probably plenty of choices.
We're on a mission from God.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
Well, I don't know if we're on a mission from God, but we're definitely on a mission for the American people. Good morning, afternoon, evening, whatever time it is, and you're listening to me, and welcome to the weekend. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, and I'm broadcasting from the free speech zone we call the United States of America, live on XM Satellites Air America 167, AM 620 KPOJ in Portland, Oregon, and AM 820 WCPT in Chicago, Illinois. And let's get to talking about our day-to-day paycheck-to-paycheck survival in George W. Bush's neocon nightmare and what you and I are going to do to restore our Constitution and repair America's moral standing in the world. The phone number here is 866-557-3777. That's 866-557-7377. Toll free from everywhere in the North American continent within the reach of my voice. Or if you want to send an email, the email address is radicalruss@gmail.com. And again, welcome to the weekend. It's really great to have you all here. We just had Super Tuesday take place. A lot of exciting things in the political spectrum to talk about this week. And of course, today, Saturday, Super Saturday, we've got some caucuses and primaries going on in three or four or five states here. We'll be getting to that later on in the show. Also want to say hi to our board op and engineer, our good friend Steve. Steve, welcome to the show again. We missed you yesterday.
Hello.
Last week.
Hello, everybody. Yes, it's me. It's me. It's that good old Stevie Lee with his cup of tea.
Stevie Lee with his cup of tea.
Actually, that's not really suitable, is it? That's it.
No, I don't know.
There we go. How's that?
I think it works okay for us. I kind of liked it.
How are you, Double?
Yeah, we had. Oh, we got the Benny Hill music.
There you go.
That's oh, that's perfect.
I thought that a bit more suitable.
That's right. Yakety sax. Yeah. So poor Steve. I got to apologize also to the folks, our regular listeners here. You know, Stevie had a tough job last week. We got all ready to go and link up to the satellite and do the show last week when my phone lines over here in Portland, Oregon suffered severe degradation. You know what, Stevie? I think it was the NSA. I think Cheney was spying on me again.
I don't doubt it for a second, Double R. I really don't.
That Dick Cheney, he's spying on me again. He heard I was saying bad things about him, cut off my phone line.
Sitting there on top of his mountain of gold in Wyoming going...
In his undisclosed location.
From parts unknown.
Yeah, so we had to go with a repeat last week because the phone lines were just, I just couldn't get connected to the satellite. We had some connectile dysfunction.
We did indeed.
You could call it.
We did indeed.
So poor Steve. Steve has to sit there and run the repeat and just sit there for 2 hours. So again, apologies to everyone who was listening.
It wasn't that bad. It was Festivus all over again. It was Festivus for the rest of us. I thought I was going to have to wait.
It's a Festivus miracle.
Exactly. I thought I was going to have to wait another good, at least 11 months for that. But no, it was Festivus all over again.
Well, that's great. Well, let's get on with the show here. Of course, I know that a lot of you are like me. You know, we're just working folks. You know, we work a full-time job for a living. We don't have the time all the time to catch up with the newspaper and the evening news. And there's so many stories that happen week after week that just takes a while to keep track of all this stuff. So at the top of the Russ Belville Show, I help you catch up on the week's hottest news topics with...
The Week in 90 Seconds.
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are running neck and neck following Super Tuesday.
Change is coming to America.
John McCain all but wraps up the GOP nomination. Conservatives are thrilled.
A position which...
Mitt Romney drops out of the race so the terrorists don't win.
I simply cannot let my campaign be a part of aiding a surrender to terror.
Waterboarding. It's not torture if we do it to bad people.
Any use of any enhanced interrogation technique depends on the circumstances.
But it is torture if we do it to the Attorney General.
Would waterboarding be torture if it was done to you?
I would feel that it was.
Warrantless wiretapping. Spying on Americans is essential to national security.
Terror surveillance program, it's just absolutely essential to know who in the United States is talking to Al-Qaeda.
But apparently not so essential for Bush to pay the phone bill.
We're sorry. Due to telephone company facility trouble, your call cannot be completed at this time.
Bush's new budget cuts $300 billion from the EPA and $200 billion from Medicare and Medicaid.
We have the best health care, in the world, and that will not be affected by this small drop in percentage increases over the next 5 years.
Meanwhile, the cost of the Iraq quagmire approaches $1 trillion, leaving us $400 billion in debt.
Another day older and deeper in debt.
And in the NFL, the New York Football Giants complete an improbable run to their third Super Bowl championship by beating the previously perfect New England Patriots in the highest rated Super Bowl ever. Well, I hope you had some fun watching that Super Bowl game. I sure did. As you may have known, last week I turned 40 years old, and for my 40th birthday, my 40th birthday present was a huge screen TV. It's a 73-inch TV. I know, kind of ridiculous. I'm only 72 inches tall. The TV's bigger than I am. But I tell you what a great time to get such a present, to watch Tom Brady and those Patriots, those Spygate, spy on the other players, cheating New England Patriots and their drop trowel, cop hitting Randy Moss. Oh, man, I was so happy to see them lose. And you know what's really cool about this, Steve, is I guest hosted on the Bill Press Show back in December when Bill took a break for Christmas break.
Yeah.
And I got to interview the sports director from a station in San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
And what was interesting is the sound op or the board op for Bill Press that week was a guy named Dan.
Yes.
Who was flying out to see the Giants and the Patriots play the last game of the season. And so they were discussing whether or not the Giants would try to end New England's perfect season. And the sports anchor from San Antonio said, well, if the Giants want to end the Patriots' perfect season, they ought to do it in the Super Bowl. And Dan said, well, I don't know if they'll go that far. So, Dan, if you're listening, congratulations. I'm so happy for your Giants to have won that Super Bowl. Highest-rated Super Bowl ever. Turns out to be, there was like 97 million people overall watching the Super Bowl. And then we had about 110 million, I believe it was, that were watching through that exciting fourth quarter. And you may not have known this, Steve, in American football, mm-hmm. It's okay to catch the ball with your head.
You see, that confused me for a long time. the whole theory of having a sport where everyone's dressed as motorcycle couriers as well, that just threw me for it. That threw me for a Burton, mate. It really did. But I got to say, I was working here last week on the Bill Press Show, and Dan was wearing his Giants cap all day Friday as some sort of good luck charm, you know? And Bill said that if they didn't win, they were going to make him, like, come in a thong or something. But... thankfully,
that would be effective and embarrassing tactic
won.
For radio.
Yeah, exactly. Thankfully, the Giants won, and I'm happy, you know, for the rest of us, really, so we didn't have to see that. But in this time of political upheaval as well, you know, with elephant versus donkey going on at the moment, it was really nice to see a nation come together under sports and, as one, hate on the Patriots.
Oh, man. Hey, hey,
I don't know. I don't know much about sports, but I know what I like.
Well, thanks, Steve. Appreciate that. Now, we got plenty of stories to aside from football to get here to later on in the show. We're going to be taking a look at the latest wranglings over the drowning technique used from the Spanish Inquisition, otherwise known as waterboarding. They're hemming and hawing on this one. There's all sorts of testimony going down in Congress that we'll take a look at in our next segment. Also, the stimulus bill, the economic stimulus package. Hey, I got your economic stimulus package has been passed by the Congress. Yeah, apparently we're all going to be getting a check. They're trying to buy us off here so that we don't feel so bad about the economy before the upcoming election. We'll talk about that too. Also, taking a look at the caucuses that are going on here today. Washington State, just north of me, is having their Democratic caucus, as well as some other states. We'll take a look at that, plus the results from Super Tuesday and all sorts of other stories. But to round out this segment, I do want to make a note of a story I was going to cover last week that I didn't get a chance to because of the telephone difficulties. But You know, one of the things that I like to follow, I write for various blogs and such, and I like to follow these right-wing, hypocritical, fundamentalist, evangelical American Taliban types that want to tell us how to live our lives and to tell us that we are, especially us on the left side of the aisle, the liberals, the progressives, that we're the moral relativists and we don't stand for family values and such. So I want to tell you this little story coming out of Utah. Yeah, coming out of Utah. This is from Utah County. Now, there was this company run by these two guys, Daniel Dean Thompson, age 31, and Isaac Lifferth, age 24. And they run this, they had this company previously called CleanFlix. And what this CleanFlix company does is they take Hollywood movies on DVD and they sanitize them, right? They take out the offensive parts. They take out all the cursing and the boobies and drug use and else that might be offensive to your straight-laced Utah-type audience. And of course, they clip some stuff that you might expect. Like in the movie Titanic, for example, they clip the part where Kate Winslet's getting her portrait painted in the nude. So, okay, yeah, you can kind of see how that would happen. They also clipped up Saving Private Ryan, the war movie. They clipped out the whole opening scene when they're storming the beach at Normandy. You know, war is hell, but we can't be looking at it, right? So they cut that out, and then... Believe it or not, these guys even clipped up the SpongeBob SquarePants movie. Now, I know you're thinking, what in the world could be so offensive about the SpongeBob SquarePants movie? Well, there's a scene in it where Patrick the Starfish sings and dances in high heels, and they cut that. A cartoon starfish dancing high heels, that's far too provocative for our young students.
Did they at least take Jar Jar Binks out of Star Wars?
Oh, yeah, you wish.
I wish. I really do.
So these guys had this company. Now, the company doesn't exist anymore, but this was their company. They used to clean up all of these movies. The self-appointed censors, the self-appointed Puritans here to purify our movies. So why do I bring this up? Well, they've just been booked in the Utah County Jail on charges of sexual abuse and unlawful sexual activity with a 14-year-old girl. Yeah, these are the guys that were cleaning up the movies for the rest of us, couldn't clean up their own lives. And when they were asked about why they were trying to pay these teenagers $20 for oral sex, what was their excuse? Quote, "We thought they were 18," end quote. So apparently the morality here is that, well, if they were old enough, it would have been okay to pay for prostitution. That would be fine. Oh man, this is every time that you see a story about these types of people that are complaining about how dirty something is or how filthy or how obscene and they want to clear it out of your life, that's somebody who's just shouting out hypocrisy from the top of their lungs. You start uncovering these rocks and stuff, you'll find this kind of hypocrisy every time. So I just wanted to mention that story about the 14-year-olds there. So let's go to break here. We'll be right back after a few minutes. This is the Russ Belville Show.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour, and I'm your Red State refugee, Radical Russ, bringing you live progressive talk here on the weekends for those of us who work for a living on the weekdays. Every week here at the Russ Belville Show, we sift through the headlines to find the stories buried in the back pages or ignored on the evening news. Stories our citizens and leaders need to hear. In this segment, we go under the radar. Oh, yeah, the under the radar segment this time. I want to talk about this waterboarding. Yeah, there's been a lot of testimony. We've had the director of the CIA, Michael Hayden, up on the stand in Congress testifying about the waterboarding, as well as the director of the FBI, Robert Mueller, as well as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency's General Maples. And they've all been up there, and as well as, of course, Attorney General Michael Mukasey. They've all been up there answering questions in these probes about waterboarding. And before we even talk about waterboarding, let's just get one thing straight. This is drowning people as an interrogation technique. This is drowning people. You know, if you hear people talk about this, it simulates drowning. Well, that's kind of like being a little bit pregnant. There is no simulating drowning. You're either drowning or you're not drowning. Drowning is a verb, okay? And when you're pouring water into someone's nose and holding them down and letting the water get into their trachea and lungs, that is drowning and it is torture. And this is a torture that has been well understood throughout thousands of years, hundreds of years at least. This was a torture that they used in the Spanish Inquisition.
Expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Oh, man, I get a board op from Britain and I keep getting this. Anyway.
Fear and surprise.
That's right. But it's a torture that has been recognized since the Spanish Inquisition. In 1947, we prosecuted Japanese officers who waterboarded our citizens because we said it was torture. The Army Field Manual does not allow for waterboarding as it is torture. And so none of the Pentagon, none of the FBI, nobody exhibits this technique except for the CIA. And for some reason, the lackeys on the right continue to defend this technique as if it's something we really need. Check this out from Bill O'Reilly's most recent shows.
Why are they so insane about this? It's not fatal. It doesn't leave a lasting physical injury. Why are they so crazy? I wouldn't give the authority to field agents or to the military.
They don't want it.
But the President of the United States, in extraordinary circumstances, as these three were, and the far left is putting us all in danger.
Now, as far as who he's talking about, these three, this was the news that was just released this week, where CIA Director Hayden admitted under testimony that waterboarding has, in fact, been used by the CIA on three detainees. You know, they'd been denying and kind of stonewalling this for a while, but now it's finally come out that it's official. It's been used. There is no argument about it anymore. And here's his quote from CIA Director Michael Hayden. He says, let me make it very clear and to state officially in front of this committee that waterboarding has only been used on three detainees. It was used on Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, it was used on Abu Zubaydah, and it was used on Nashiri. End quote. So they're trying to minimize this. They're trying to say, well, you only used it three times. And these were really, really bad guys. They were really bad. And this is just going right back to that Bush administration neocon idea that, you know, the end justifies the means. As Senator Biden was interrogating, let's use that term, was interrogating Michael Mukasey, the attorney general, he was asking if, you know, what was, you know, when was waterboarding legal? And Mukasey says that, that basically it depends. It depends. It says the Detaining Treatment Act engages the standard under the Constitution, which is a shocks the conscience standard, which is essentially a balancing test of the value of doing something against the cost of doing it, the cruelty of doing it, balanced against the value of what information you might get. So in other words, what he's saying here is that as long as they're guilty, it's okay to waterboard them. Right? Does that remind you a little bit of how they used to prosecute witches back in the 1600s? Remember those? They used to say, well, we'll throw the witch into the water, and if she drowns, well, then she's innocent. Right? So these waterboarding guys, right? If they're bad guys, if we torture them and they turn out to be bad guys, then the torture was okay. Well, what about the guys that we waterboard that were innocent? What's the situation there? Then it's torture? But we wouldn't find out until after we tortured them? This is just ridiculous. And of course, this goes back to their conservative Christian compassion, so-called Christian compassion here. And what I really believe, and having grown up in Idaho, I really believe these people believe that this is the only thing that the Middle East will understand, is if we're more cruel than them, if we could be so heinous in what we do with the waterboarding, with what happened at Abu Ghraib. The whole idea was part of that shock and awe. The whole idea here was to scare the bejesus out of the Muslim world that we were serious this time. And you know what? I think a part of them actually gets off on it. I think a part of them actually enjoys torturing people. Now, when we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about this, and we'll be taking your calls as well at 866-55-77-377. I'm Radical Russ.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
I have carefully reviewed the limited set of methods that are currently authorized for use in the CIA program. and I've concluded that they are lawful.
Ah, waterboarding is legal, according to our Attorney General.
We may not maim, we may not rape. There is a whole list of specifically barred techniques.
But waterboarding isn't on that list.
It's not.
Well, it's good to know we're not allowed to maim and rape people. Isn't that nice to know?
So let me ask you this. Would waterboarding be torture if it was done to you?
I would feel that it was.
God, can you believe we even have to have this conversation? Well, welcome back. It's 35 after the hour, and you're listening to live weekend progressive talk for the average working class American from an average working class American. That's me, Radical Russ Belville, with Stevie Lee back there on the boards, and we're taking your calls at 866-55-77-377. And the big question is this. Why are these guys so wedded to the idea of waterboarding? What is it in their minds that makes them think this is a worthwhile thing to do? I mean, when we turn to the FBI, you know, Robert Mueller, director of the FBI, was recently testifying on Capitol Hill and testifying to the point that the FBI does not use waterboarding and rejects waterboarding as part of its interrogation techniques. Also, the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency rejects the use of waterboarding as a technique, as does the entire Pentagon and all of the armed forces. Okay, so for some reason, our top domestic law enforcement agency feels no need to waterboard. Our military intelligence agency, doing the most pressing intelligence work throughout the world in the search for terrorists or anyone who might want to harm the United States, they don't seem to feel that they need to do waterboarding. And the entire U.S. military feels that it's not good to do waterboarding. So why is it? Why? Why is it that the CIA and the president, by extension, feel it's necessary to maintain waterboarding as the ace card in the interrogation deck here? What is it about it that makes them think that they need to keep up with this?
Hey, Double R.
And I have my...
I think I know what it is. You're forgetting.
You got it. Go, Steve.
It's not torture anymore. It's an enhanced interrogation technique.
That's
isn't that
right.
Nice and Star Trek sounding?
Yeah, enhanced interrogation technique. Kind of like a janitor is a refuse maintenance specialist. I mean, come on!
A shovel is a horizontal earth displacement unit.
Exactly.
Right.
We are defining ourselves into ridiculousness here. Waterboarding is torture, and at this moment in the United States, America stands for torture. We're becoming the country that everyone else used to try to leave, that everybody used to try to run from. You know, just the fact that we even have to have this debate about waterboarding just saddens me as an American. And again, I want to get to my point on this, which is I believe that these guys could care less whether waterboarding actually works. I believe that these guys want to use waterboarding just for waterboarding's sake, torture for torture's sake. What they're trying to do, they're not trying to get information out of the guy they're waterboarding. They want that information of him being waterboarded to get out to all the others out there, to get out to all the other so-called terrorists or al-Qaeda's or whatever, because these people suffer from a delusion. Well, first of all, they suffer from the 24 delusion that, you know, somehow there'll be a ticking time bomb scenario and there's only an hour. And if Jack Bauer can waterboard the guy, we can find out where the nuclear bomb will go off, because when people are being waterboarded, they're nothing but honest. Yeah, right. Come on. This is so ridiculous. People are just brainwashed in this 24 thinking, and it's about time we stopped it. Torture is torture, and it's reprehensible, period. End of sentence, end of paragraph. There is no reason to be torturing our enemies. It endangers our soldiers. Our soldiers now could be tortured by our enemies, and then our enemies will just say, well, we thought they were terrorists. They had to be waterboarded. They'll use the same excuses that we've been using. And they continue to try to paint the American people as being behind this. Lamar Smith, one of the representatives in Congress, he was out there on the floor talking about this, and this was his quote. He says, my guess is that 99% of the American people, if asked whether they would endorse such interrogation techniques to be conducted on a known terrorist, with the expectation that information might be derived from such interrogation that would save the lives of thousands of Americans, that 99% of the American people would support such interrogation techniques. He thinks 99% of us would support waterboarding if we knew it was going to be against a terrorist and it would save lives. And yet,
We've actually done polls on this. We've actually asked the American people what they think under that same exact so-called Jack Bauer 24 ticking time bomb scenario. The recent CNN poll shows that 68% of Americans say that waterboarding is torture, and 58% said the U.S. should not be allowed to use the technique against suspected terrorists. End of story. We do not embrace torture. We do not embrace this in our name. And so help me, the November elections come around. We're going to get this neocon nightmare over with here in America and install either the first woman president or the first black president. At this point, it doesn't matter as long as they're going to be getting rid of this torture. Now, let's go to our phone calls. We've got the lines lighting up on torture here. We got Kim in Monroe, Louisiana. Kim, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Thank you, sir. Actually, it kind of took the fire out of my argument. But I'd like to know what they would consider if Al-Qaeda, there's a gentleman who supposedly disappeared in Baghdad about 4 months ago. His name is Levinson. And he was a former CIA man working with the security forces. I wonder what they would do and how they would feel if Al-Qaeda shows a film. First of all, with a big... And in English, saying this is not waterboarding, and the different techniques that we have tried is not being torture. And they showed then Mr. Levinson being introduced in each and every one of those techniques of interrogation. And then at the end, he would sign a confession to knowing secret information.
If the shoe was on the other foot, you know, we heard it from you, Casey, when he said, you know, if it was done to him, it would be torture. You know what? I think I know what some of their answers would be, because they have this idea that, well, they're much worse than us. They beheaded Daniel Pearl. They cut people's heads off and put drills in their head, et cetera, et cetera, as if there's some sort of sliding scale of torture. You know, one torture is better than another torture. I think that's what their answer would be.
That's right. But, you know, I'd like to introduce them to Camp Kimmy. It'd take about 30 days, and I could break each and every one of them. And George would be the perfect person to perform the interrogation techniques. Our good president, because he has a history of exploding frogs with firecrackers and almost drowning another kid, a fellow student, at the private country club when he was a boy.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You know what, Kim, you're hitting on it exactly what I was starting to say is that, you know, I think there's a part of them. There's a little part of them that gets off on this. And when you look back at people, you know, all the profilers that talk about serial killers and people that are abusers talk about how they, when they were growing up, they usually abused animals. And sure, we've got those stories of George Bush sticking firecrackers in frogs' butts to make them explode. And we had, the former, Bill Frist. You remember Bill Frist was the cat killer. He used to work on stray cats. He'd get stray cats from the pound, and he would practice surgeries on them and such. So yeah, I think you're on the right track, Kim.
You know, and one other thing about that is interesting, that none of these men have ever undergone waterboarding or any other form of torture as a training exercise.
Yeah, you ask any of our SEALs, and I thank you for your call, Kim, appreciate that. You ask any of our SEALs or the people that go through the SERI training, the Survival, Evasion, Resistance, and Escape training, who actually have to be waterboarded, and they have other techniques, prison camp type techniques that are used on them, so they'll know what they might face from an enemy. You ask those guys, and every one of them to a man will tell you that the waterboarding was the worst thing that they ever had to go through. That everything else they could kind of resist a little, but the waterboarding was just awful. And it's just awful that here in America, we're supposed to be this Christian nation, this beacon of light and freedom and democracy, and we've got our elected officials standing up for a torture technique from the Spanish Inquisition. Well, we got to go to the break here, running up against the time clock here. When we come back from break, our weekly look at the lunatic fringe. Stay tuned.
You're tuned to the Russ Belville Show. Your red state refugee, Radical Russ. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, welcome back. It's 49 after the hour, and you found the weekend home for the working class survivors of George W. Bush's neocon nightmare.
lunacy is on the grass.
Now it's time for our weekly roundup of the right wing's altered reality.
The lunatic is on the grass.
From the Guano Loco neocon chicken hawks to the hypocritical American Taliban. And the cable news punditocracy. The Russ Belville Show presents
The
Lunatic Fringe Award, an award dedicated to the politician, pundit, or preacher who said the most ignorant, hateful, or bizarre quote of the week. And boy, there's plenty of lunatics out there on the fringe this week we've got to take a look at. And there's kind of a theme to this week's Lunatic Fringe, and that theme would be race. Yeah, we get that theme a lot from the Lunatic Fringe, but this week we got a lot of quotes here just revealing about, you know, what your inner conservatives are thinking about as far as this race goes. You know, we've had this, well, both race in the racial aspect and race in the presidential aspect with the candidacy of Barack Obama, who they can't stop calling Barack Hussein Obama. Like, we're supposed to be scared that his name is Hussein, given that Hussein is a name like Williams or Smith in the Arabic world. I mean, it's like a very, very common name. But anyway, I want to go to, we're going to go first here in the Lunatic Fringe to Michael Savage, who's very often appears here in the Lunatic Fringe. Michael Savage had a caller, an African native, a man from Africa named Kojo, who was calling up to disagree with Michael Savage's opinions on Africa, Africans, and AIDS.
The AIDS got there. Do you know how the AIDS got there? You know how he got there?
I know how it got there. It got there because it was spread by eating green monkey meat, my friend. If you study the science, but I don't think you have the capacity to understand science, my dear friend Kojo.
You have a big old mouth. You don't listen to nobody.
Who has the big mouth here, Kojo?
You stupid man.
See, we don't live in Africa where people settle arguments with machetes. We live in a country where we settle it with arguments, something you apparently don't know anything about.
Yeah, that's your Michael Savage saying that, Africans, you know, wouldn't understand argument and reason, So, but unfortunately, that's not our winner today in the sweepstakes here for the Lunatic Fringe. We're gonna go to the $50 million man on this next one. That's right. Glenn Beck, from CNN Headline News, who is speaking with the African-American commentator from National Public Radio, John Ridley. And Glenn is talking about how he doesn't see color.
If Hillary Clinton wants to be consistent, I believe affirmative action, she should give Barack Obama an additional 5 percentage points just for the years of oppression.
Affirmative action points for Barack Obama, as if he needs it. He's already trouncing, well, not trouncing, but he's in a dead heat here with Hillary Clinton and getting far more votes than any Republican is getting in his primaries. But, you know, Glenn's above all the racial stuff.
Can you imagine if I said, is Barack Obama black enough? I mean, I don't see that man as black. Of course I do, because I'm not blind. I don't see him as black or white. He just is. He's an American. He's a man.
He doesn't see Barack Obama as black or white. Glenn Beck is above seeing people based on their color. Color means nothing to Glenn Beck.
He's colorless. He is colorless. When
he's clear?
He says, yes. When he said, you don't notice his color as a white guy, and I don't know if African Americans feel the same way, but for whites, I think he's colorless. You don't notice that he is black, so he might as well be white.
Yeah, if you don't notice they're black, they might as well be white. Yeah, that's the esteemed Glenn Beck there, his dissertations on African Americans in this country. But unfortunately, I can't give the award to Glenn today. That's a little too wishy-washy for me to give him the award. Let's go back to Michael Savage. Maybe he has something to say about this whole affirmative action thing.
Do you realize that this is or can be seen as the first affirmative action election in American history? Let me repeat that again. We have a woman and a multi-ethnic man running for office on the Democrat side. Is this not akin to an affirmative action election? Isn't that why the libs are hysterical, tripping over themselves to say amen and yes to this affirmative action vote?
An affirmative action vote. Of course, the implication there being that Hillary or Barack wouldn't be doing as well if they were just a white guy. You know, that it's all, we're all voting for him just because she's female or just because he's black. Has nothing to do with the 8 years of people being disgusted by the Cheney-Burton maladministration and approval ratings around the 30s for Bush and everyone crying out for change. No, it's all just race. It's all just race and sex. That's all it has to do with. We libs, that's all we care about. Right. All right. Well, let's go on, because I'm not going to give that to Savage either. Michael Wiener Savage. Thank you. Let's go to Mary Madeline. Now, you know Mary Madeline. She's married to James Carville. She's the Republican. He's the Democrat. And she's been a contributor to Fox News and to many different Republican candidates over the years. And Mary Madeline, of course, along with many of the conservatives, does not like John McCain at all. So she was trying to bolster the candidacy of Mitt Romney. And she had this to say about Mitt Romney's family.
He's fresh. He's new. He's got what all Americans want in the White House, which is an all-American family.
An all-American family. Hmm. Now, what could that mean? I'm looking here on my computer at a picture of Mitt Romney's family and the whole, all the Romney boys, all five white Romney boys. Good-looking family. Now, let's take a look at John McCain's family. Oh, yeah, let's look at that picture. Yeah, there's John and his wife, and, oh, yes, his daughter, his dark-skinned daughter from Bangladesh. Maybe that's what she meant by not an all-American family. And, of course, we could also turn over to Barack Obama's family, all African-American, and definitely she couldn't have meant that as an all-American family. Oh, man. But unfortunately, Mary Madeline, you're going to have to try harder than that to make it to the Lunatic Fringe Award, because this week, oh, my, this week we have got the king of lunatic fringery. I think this is probably the most lunatic fringe thing I have heard in the past couple of months, and I've been doing a lunatic fringe every week, so you just got to hear this one to believe it. This is Neil Bortz. Excuse me. Neil Bortz. Who was talking about Hurricane Katrina and the people who were victimized by Hurricane Katrina.
New Orleans was a welfare city, a city of parasites, a city of people who could not and had no desire to fend for themselves. You have a hurricane descending on them, and they sit on their fat asses and wait for somebody else to come rescue them.
I used to walk for the post office. Yeah. The people in New Orleans were waiting on their government checks. They weren't moving until they got them. That's what they were waiting on.
Listen, when these Katrina so-called refugees were scattered about the country, it was just a glorified episode of putting out the garbage.
So Neil Bortz, for demonstrating the compassion of Barbara Bush and the Christ-like attitudes of most conservatives, you are the winner of this week's
Lunatic Fringe.
Oh, man. Can you believe these people?
I know you're out there.
It'd be sad if they weren't in power.
Wow. That was stunning.
The victims of Katrina were parasites sitting around waiting for their government checks. Well, first of all, if you got no money, if you're poor and your only source of income is a government check, then yeah, you might stick around for your income, so maybe you could take care of your family, because certainly nobody else was coming to take care of them during those days. Heck of a job, Brownie. Oh, man. Now, when we come back for the top of the hour, we're going to go into our second hour, and we'll be looking at the big story, the caucuses and the primaries out there in Washington State and other areas, as well as a look at the upcoming election. Hillary, Barack, who do you want? And what are we going to do to beat John McCain? This is the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Brownie, you're doing a heck of a job.
And so many of the people in the arena here, you know, they're underprivileged anyway. This is working very well for them.
Bring them on. I repeat what I said. I truly am not that concerned about him. I don't think I ever said I'm not worried about Osama bin Laden. It's kind of one of those exaggerations.
Yeah, it's one of those exaggerations, all right. One of those many, many legacies of the Cheney Barton maladministration that we'll be trying to repair over the next 4, 8, 6, 12, 15 years. Hey, welcome to the weekend. I'm Radical Russ Belville, and I'm broadcasting to you from the free speech zone that we call the United States of America, live on XM Satellites Air America Channel 167, AM 620 KPOJ, and glad to have you there out there in the Chicagoland area, out on AM 820 WCPT. Hey, Chicagoland, how you doing? Give us a call out here at the show. The phone number here is 866-5577-377, toll-free from anywhere on the North American continent. And let's talk about our day-to-day paycheck-to-paycheck survival in George W. Bush's neocon nightmare and what we're going to do to restore the Constitution and repair America's moral standing in the world. And, of course, the big story, we got to get to the big story today, which is, of course, the elections that are coming up. Super Tuesday just happened, and we had all sorts of things to cover from Super Tuesday. And of course today, Saturday, we've got all sorts of primaries and caucuses going on right now. Today, Saturday, February 9th, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are going head to head for delegates in Louisiana, Nebraska, Washington State, and the Virgin Islands. And then tomorrow on Sunday, there's going to be a race in Maine. So we got five states, five contests here for the Democrats, and only one of them is actually a primary. Louisiana's is a primary. Everyone else is a caucus state. And of course, the big state is Washington State. Just north of me here, I'm in Portland, Oregon, so just north of me, the folks in Washington State are getting ready to go out and caucus for their candidate of choice. And the pundits are telling us that the caucuses do well for Barack Obama. So we might get a little bit of Barack Obama momentum out of this weekend. Now, on the Republican side, we still have John McCain, Mike Huckabee, and Ron Paul. They're competing in Kansas, Louisiana, and Washington State. So if we've got any listeners out there on the satellites listening from those states, give us a call here at 866-5577-377 and let us know how the turnout's going. How are the polls out there in those states? Everywhere we've looked that there's been these contests, we've seen massive turnout, especially on the Democratic side, and I couldn't be happier. This massive turnout of people who are engaged in this process and are desperate for change. Everyone is sick of the Cheney-Burton maladministration, and they just can't wait to get rid of them. Now, of course, the other news was following Super Tuesday, Mitt Romney dropped out of the race, of course, and Mitt Romney decided he didn't want to self-fund his race anymore. You know, he loaned himself most of his money for his race, and if you calculate how much money he spent versus how many delegates he got, he turned out to spend about $1 million per delegate. $1 million per delegate, yeah. This is the guy running as the CEO. This is the guy running as the business guy, spends $1 million a delegate. Meanwhile, Mike Huckabee, about 50 grand. About 50 grand a vote for Mike Huckabee versus about $1 million per delegate for Mitt Romney. And you know, that kind of just says it all, doesn't it? That's the CEO culture that we've got here, in this country these days. You know, with all these CEOs making, what, 400, 500 times what the average worker makes, and even if their companies disintegrate and lose money and hemorrhage red ink, they get their golden parachutes, they get their little bonuses, their million, billion-dollar bonuses. But anyway, Mitt Romney is out of the race, and Mitt had quite an interesting explanation as to why it was so important for him to drop out of the race.
Today, we are a nation at war.
Oh, it's the war.
And
yes.
Barack and Hillary have made their intentions clear regarding Iraq and the war on terror. They would retreat, declare defeat, and the consequence of that would be devastating. It would mean attacks on America. Now, if I fight out on my campaign all the way to the convention, I'd forestall the launch of a national campaign. And frankly, I'd be making it easier for Senator Clinton or Obama to win. Frankly, in this time of war, I simply cannot let my campaign be a part of aiding a surrender to terror.
Frankly, it's because you weren't getting any votes. Frankly, it's because the conservatives didn't like you. Frankly, it's because you flip-flopped on so many positions that nobody can tell what you actually stand for. And frankly, I find it quite inspiring that it, Mitt Romney's candidacy helps the terrorists win. You heard it from his own mouth. If Mitt Romney runs for president, the terrorists win. Frankly, frankly, that's got to be true.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Or frankly, for that matter. Yeah, poor guy, poor Mitt Romney has to drop out because if he stays in the race, Barack or Hillary could win, and they want to surrender to the terrorists.
Is that what he meant? Uh-huh. Is that because I listened to it and I just went, well, that didn't make any sense. What are you talking about?
Then your head is screwed on straight. That's why. Yeah. This idea that his theory here is that if he keeps running, that will make it a contest between him and John McCain. And then if he drops out, then John McCain can focus all his energies on fighting Barack and Hillary.
Oh, okay.
So he doesn't want to be the distraction candidate, so to speak.
It wasn't just because he was rubbish then.
It was rubbish. it was all rubbish. He didn't have a chance in hell, and he was tired of spending his kids' inheritance. That's what it was.
The other thing it was, of course, as well, is that he didn't get an action hero endorsement.
Oh yeah, he didn't get the
McCain got
Norris.
Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger. And Huckabee got
Rambo and the Terminator. You can't go wrong with Rambo
exactly.
and the Terminator.
The only thing he could have done was dug up Bruce Lee. You
know? Now we will not blaspheme Bruce Lee's name on my side. Bruce Lee would never have supported these guys. Let me just make that clear.
You have offended my family. You have offended a Shaolin temple.
Yeah, don't mess with Bruce.
That's right. Hey, as a matter of fact, just as an aside, I actually studied Bruce Lee's martial art under one of his close trainers there. So I know a little bit about that Jeet Kune Do. Yeah, this was
a
lot of fun back there in Boise, Idaho. There's a in fact a Brit.
Really?
A Brit by the name of Chris Kent, who was one of the, a student of Daniel Inosanto's, and Daniel Inosanto was one of Bruce Lee's students.
Yes,
so
indeed.
A student of a student of Bruce Lee taught me a little bit of Jeet Kune Do. So
well,
there's
your
little rust.
I certainly won't be arguing with you at any point in the near future.
That's right, a little rust trivia for the day. But let me get back to the other endorsements here. Dr. James Dobson, you may know of him, SpongeDob, I call him. He's the one that, he's on with Focus on the Family, and he's probably, now that Jerry Falwell has died, he's probably the number one religious force as far as the political forces out there. And he has just endorsed Mike Huckabee because he hates John McCain, like a lot of these conservatives do. They just hate John McCain. So what I want to get to as far as election goes here. We got ourselves in a situation now where we've got Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama going one-on-one for the nomination. And who is it, do you think, is going to be the best candidate to face up against John McCain? One of the problems that's happening here, and we're just starting to find this out now. I mean, you know that old saying about politics is like making sausage. You don't want to see how it's done. We're starting to see how this is done. And I think a lot of people are coming to the realization that the way the Democratic Party picks its candidates is a little bit, well, labyrinthine, Byzantine, whatever word you want to use that has a Y or a Z in it, confusing. Here's the situation. They go out to these various states and primaries, and they collect the delegates based on the votes of the people. And most of these are proportional, so, if Barack wins 60-40, then he gets 6 delegates and she gets 4, or, whatever the proportion would end up being. But it turns out that almost 800 of these delegates, almost 20% of the delegates who will pick the Democratic nominee are these so-called superdelegates. And, they've got heat vision, and they can fly and live and jump tall buildings with a single bound. No, that's not it. No. The superdelegates here, what the situation is these are the elected officials and the party hacks who, the House of Representatives, governors, and various Democratic Party officials who aren't elected by the people have 20% of the say of who we pick for a Democratic nominee. Now, imagine, if you will, if Barack Obama goes through all these primaries and ends up with more delegates, and yet Hillary, behind the scenes, with all of her connections, polls more of these superdelegates and ends up getting the nomination despite the popular vote, Oh, man, can you imagine the furor that's going to happen with that? Imagine the people coming out to and voting for the first African-American president, the first African-American candidate, and thinking because he got the most votes that he's going to be the candidate, and then it turns out to be Hillary. Or vice versa. Let's turn it around. You know, suppose Hillary gets the most votes, and we had superdelegates tilt the race over to Barack. I mean, this is no way to pick a presidential candidate. It needs to be the will of the people. It needs to be the votes of the people. Now, a lot of people are also contemplating the idea of Obama-Clinton dual ticket. Boy, I don't know if that would work out or not, seeing how, you know, they have this difference on the Iraq war and some of these other issues. But, you know, I want to know what you think about this. What are the chances of an Obama-Clinton ticket? Do you see that as possibly a way of salvaging or avoiding this this long, drawn-out process? And with John McCain, what do you think's coming up with John McCain? Who's McCain going to pick for his vice president? If you haven't been thinking about that, there are some people on the other side who have. And coming back after the break, I'm going to tell you about the latest rumor as far as John McCain's vice presidential pick. And oh, my God, it's a doozy. This is the Russ Belville Show, the home for truly radical progressives. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. And the phones are open at 866-5577-377.
This is the Russ Belville Show, the winner of America's search for the next great progressive talk radio star.
22 after the hour, and I'm Radical Russ, here to take our country back, one person at a time, every weekend. Remember, it's still we the people, not we the corporations. So let's turn over things to the good and wise people of North America and hear your voices. It's time for us to stand up and fight the power. Let our leaders know how we feel. That's right. It's time to give the people what they want. And what the people want is change. We're going to go to the phones now. We've got Bob in North Platte, Nebraska, who's ready for caucus day. Bob, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I just want to tell you how excited I am that Nebraska is actually matters this time in a primary or a caucus. So actually, this is our first caucus that we're having.
Oh, good. That's excellent. Now, did you mind us asking who you're caucusing for?
I would have preferred to caucus for Dennis Kucinich, but since that ain't going to happen, it's going to be Barack Obama.
Yeah, that's great to hear. You know, I'm wondering where the votes for the other candidates go in this situation. You know, I think, you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, I'm out here in Portland, Oregon, a very, very liberal city, and I'm telling you, Dennis Kucinich had a ton of support out here. People love Dennis, and you know, it comes back to that thing. Oh, he's not electable. Look, if you're 35 years old and a citizen of the United States and born in the United States, you're electable, right? It's just what they're saying is the money people weren't behind him, and I think that a lot of people that were for Kucinich or Edwards or a lot of these other candidates, a lot of them, while they had a lot to say about their particular candidate, I think also they just didn't want to be voting for Hillary Clinton. Do you feel that?
Well, you know something? I'm 40 years old, and I never voted in an election that didn't have either Bush or Clinton in it. And this is like, and let me tell you something, I have no bad words to say about Hillary. It's just that I want to see change. I want to see complete change. And I think Hillary would benefit by having Barack Obama as a vice president, but I don't think Barack would necessarily benefit by having Hillary as a vice. And
I think you're right on that.
You know, and you know something? I love my country. I'm sick today. I've been off of work for a few days. I have a 102 fever. I'm going to go out there and vote. I mean, I'm so dedicated to the cause. And I love my
country. Glad to hear that, man. I'm so glad to hear that. You know, us out here in Oregon, we feel the same way as you guys in Nebraska. Our primary is not until like May, you know, and we never get to have a voice. And who knows? This may go all the way down to Puerto Rico. The way it's looking now.
I think I heard one of the other talk show host. I think it was Randy Rhodes that said the same thing. And you know something? I think every election should be like this. I really do.
Absolutely. And why do we have this situation where some of the states, like Iowa, and nothing against Iowa and New Hampshire. I mean, they're fine states. It's just, why do two states have such the prominence and all the rest of them don't? I like the idea of regional primaries. Let's divide the country up into the geographical regions that have all the states in a particular region have their primaries at that time, and then do it somewhat where we rotate it. Like maybe the first year the Pacific Northwest goes first, and then next year the Northeast goes first, or whatever. Anything would be better than what we've got right now. Bob, thank you for your call. I appreciate that, and get well soon. I'm glad you're out there doing your civic duty. Let's go also to the phones here. Another caller. We got Steve in Chicago. Steve, Hi. Welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Thank you. I've got a couple of points. First, rather than go into what happens if the Democrats do what you put forward, that would destroy the party, period. So I think what has to happen is that we've got to elect Obama by margins that are big enough that you can't cheat on voting machines. It's not just Republicans that cheat. It's a question of a plutocracy against a people. And it's not enough of a reason for me to elect the first black president or to elect the first woman president. We need to elect the best president. And there's no question, when they talk about Hillary's experience, they're not looking at the real experience, which was a failed health care proposal, NAFTA, a disaster for our country, their media bill, which has enabled five people to control our entire media and thereby keep people like Dennis Kucinich off the airwaves. You know, who knows if the deal was not struck when they put that legislation through, not to mention those horrible, disgraceful pardons that Bill Clinton gave at the end of his campaign, at the end of his presidency. I don't want that guy anywhere near our White House.
Now, Stephen, you put forth a lot of the opinions that I agree with there, especially, you know, when you're talking about the vote suppression or the manipulation of the vote. And I got to move on. So thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Go on. But thanks for calling in. Yeah, this whole vote thing, you know, Hillary was trying to get the votes in Florida. Yeah, it's always Florida, isn't it? She was trying to get the votes from that Florida caucus to be counted. When the Democratic Leadership Council or Democratic National Committee, invalidated Florida's electors, they said, we're not going to seat Florida's delegates because they broke the rules and moved their primary ahead in the schedule too far. They broke the rules. So none of the other candidates, Obama or Edwards or Kucinich, anybody else, nobody went down there to Florida to campaign because it wasn't going to matter. Hillary did. She went down there and campaigned and won Florida by quite a bit. And now she wants those votes to count, even though nobody else had the chance to run in Florida. Now, luckily, Florida has said, no, we can't do it. It's too expensive. It costs too much money. But, you know, that just belies something about Hillary Clinton and the Clintons in general, about them being another part of the problem. They're a part of this problem that just seeks power for its own sake. And things like that, where she's trying to sneak in and get the Michigan delegates and the Florida delegates to be counted when those elections weren't fair and open and free like they should have been, you know, because of the delegates not counting, that just belies another thing about Hillary. And I want to get to this point, too, about, you know, looking forward to the future. Now that we've got McCain as the presumptive nominee, who is going to beat him? According to the polls, Obama beats McCain by 7 points, 48-41. Clinton ties McCain 46-46. So that's something to think about as we go out to break here. When we come back from break, we got more calls hanging on the line. Stay tuned. We'll be getting to your calls in just a second at 866-5577-377. I'm Radical Russ.
This is the Russ Belville Show. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Yes, hello again. It's 35 after the hour. You're still listening to the Russ Belville Show. This is hour two of the show. So for all my friends out there in the Chicagoland area, if you want to hear hour one, give a call to WCPT out there. Let them know there's 2 hours to this show and you want them both. You can't have half of your Radical Russ. You got to have it all, man. We were talking about the upcoming election, the caucuses going on here, as well as some other topics. I got some more phone calls hanging on the line. So let's go to Dave in Chicago, Illinois. Dave, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, Russ, how you doing? I called you a couple of weeks ago about how I believe the administration's breaking into my mail and yada yada.
Oh, they're still doing that?
Oh, sure, sure. Why would they stop? You know, they're having such a good time with it, yeah. They get into my porno collection, but that's a different story. Anyway, so you were talking about torture in the first hour, and I wanted to let I want to let your audience know that there's a World War II magazine out, March 2008, so it's on the newsstands now. Secrets of the Nazis' Master Interrogator. There's a black and white picture of the cover of a German officer, Hans Scharf, Corporal Hans Scharf, and how he got information out of our airmen that were shot down without any coercion, threats, or force. They brought him in, and they let him stew for a day in a jail cell. When they let him out, after our airmen were thinking the very worst, they handed him cigarettes, fed him, you know, gave him whatever needs they wanted, and just had a conversation with him. And they gleaned all kinds of information, all the information that they ever wanted, without ever assaulting them in what any manner whatsoever. If you're you know, audience wants to, any magazine stand, pick up that World War II, March 2008, take a look at it. It is fabulous reading.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Thanks for that call there. And check that out, World War II magazine. Yeah, you know, all of the intelligence experts out there, to a man, they all say that torture just does not work. It does not give you the information that you're trying to get. And my point at the first hour was, again, that I think they know that. I think they know that torture isn't going to work. I don't think they're torturing people to try to get information. They're torturing people as kind of a warning, as kind of a scare tactic to the people they haven't captured yet. That if you're captured by the United States, if you're fighting against the United States, then you're going to get tortured. You're going to be, you know, subject to horrendous, horrendous torture. And it's just a psych game, I think. I think this is all psychological operations. You know, and of course it's just maddening, you know, when these kind of techniques are approved by men who never once, you know, spent a day in the military or as far as in seeing any combat action. I mean, it's amazing. I was in the National Guard for 5 years, and, you know, I'm not going to claim I'm any, you know, big sort of military guy. I mean, I was in the Army Band, okay? Yeah, I'll admit it. You know, I was a sergeant in the Army Band. I played tuba and sousaphone and bassoon and clarinet and bass and all that kind of stuff. And yet, as a National Guard part-time sergeant in the Army Band, I've got more military experience than the vice president does. And I didn't go AWOL like the president did, okay? So when these guys want to stand on their, you know, high horse and talk about torture and how, you know, people like me, if I vote for Hillary or Barack, it's going to cause, you know, we're going to surrender to the terrorists and we got to have torture, it just makes me sick. They are ruining America's reputation. They are destroying the moral clarity that this country had for over 200 years. Our moral standing in the world is just trashed at this point. Now, let me go back to the other story I want to call. Oh, and if you want to get in on the conversation, please pick up the phone. Number here is 866-5577-377. Or if you're shy, you can send me an email. Email address here is radicalruss@gmail.com. And while I'm talking about the tubes, the intertubes, let me mention also the website, radicalrust.net. We've got our poll up there, and it's just down to two. Who is your preferred candidate for the Democratic nomination? Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton? Take the poll out there at radicalrust.net and let everyone else know how you feel about this. Now, some news about the caucuses and the election as it's coming up here. As far as those superdelegates go, we were talking about the superdelegates to the Democratic convention. Well, there's one less superdelegate you have to worry about, and that's Joe Lieberman. That's right. Joe Lieberman from the Connecticut for Lieberman Party has been stripped of his status as a superdelegate. Hooray! So at least one of our Democratic delegates won't be voting for John McCain. Now, as far as Hillary versus Barack, you know, I think both of them are great candidates, although I have my issues with Hillary Clinton. And it's like my caller Steve said earlier. He's saying how he's 40 years old. I'm 40 as well. I just turned 40 years old last Thursday. And in my lifetime, just like he was saying, in my lifetime, there has always been a Clinton or a Bush on the presidential ticket. So could we get a bigger menu, please? Could we get a few more choices other than either voting against a fascist or voting for Republican light? I mean, could we have something a little broader than that this time? And that's why I'm really behind Barack Obama's candidacy. I think it's time. I think it's the time for the change. And I believe that Barack Obama, beyond being someone who can be an agent of change, is also someone who just inspires people. There's that certain it factor when you're talking about, you know, celebrities, politicians, rock stars, whatever. There's a certain it factor of people that just have a natural charisma, a natural affinity. And Barack's got it. Barack has totally got that natural affinity, and he's attracting the youth vote, and he's bringing out people that wouldn't have ordinarily wanted to come out to vote. And my problem with Hillary Clinton here is the Republicans are very dispirited right now. I mean, their nominee looks to be John McCain, and John McCain was speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference here this week, and well, this is the reception John got from the conservatives.
On the issue of illegal immigration, a position which...
The guy is booed off the stage. The guy is booed from the conservatives there, booing him for his stance on immigration. He also voted against the Bush tax cuts, and there's other a lot of issues the conservatives don't like John McCain about. So my theory here is that a lot of these conservatives, given the choice between, you know, voting for McCain or voting for Obama, are just not going to vote. They're just not going to come out and vote at all. And we've heard the talk. We've heard it from Rush Limbaugh, say, you know, going off against John McCain. And we've heard about Ann Coulter saying that if McCain's nominated, she'll campaign for Hillary. So, you know, there's a lot to think about as far as who we're going to nominate. Now, let me go to the phones again here, and we're going to go once again to Chicagoland. We got Neil in Chicago, Illinois. Neil, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hi, Russ. Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to get your input on who you think the Republican candidate is going to be, McCain's going to be running with this fall. And I also wanted to see what you thought about. I'm thinking probably George, someone like George Allen, just to quiet the conservatives. But
maybe George Allen. I don't know how, if George Allen can resuscitate his career from the Macaca incident. Not that it hurts him among Republicans, but I don't know. That might be too hot button or too fresh in people's minds for him to want to turn to a guy like Allen. I think you're on the right track. He's going to want to get someone who's going to allay the fears of the conservatives and make them think that, you know, he's got someone in his corner that's more conservative. There's been some talk about Mike Huckabee perhaps being a vice president. I don't know. I don't think that's possible. I don't think that's somebody that McCain is going to want.
Or maybe Bill Frist or even Newt Gingrich.
But, Newt Gingrich, there's someone to look at, definitely. That's something that could happen that might allay the conservatives' fears. And thanks for that call, Neil. I appreciate that. Let me tell you what I do think here is a scary thought. There is a group of activists out there. This was at the Conservative Political Action Committee. This was just in the Wall Street Journal. There's a couple of activists out there named Crystal Duker, I think's her name, and Rich Holt, who are trying to, they've built a 527 group called Think Condi. Oh, yeah. Think about that. Condoleezza Rice as a vice presidential candidate on the McCain ticket. That might be something they would want to try to do. They feel that, and according to their statement, they think that she'd be the best running mate for McCain because, in part, she can bring Bush supporters into the fold who may be wary of his one-time electoral foe, you know, referring to McCain. Condi as a vice president. Now, that's kind of interesting casting, don't you think? Do you think maybe that the Republicans realize that they're going to be running against either the first woman candidate for president or the first black president candidate? And so to try to fight that, they want to put forward the first black woman vice president candidate? That's kind of a sly political move there. Try to blunt that whole race and gender angle. Boy, kind of sleazy lies as a vice president. And especially when you think about McCain is 72 years old. If McCain was elected president, he'd be older than Reagan was when he was elected. And we know how well that turned out. Well, all right. Well, I got to take a break here. Got to pay some more bills. So stay tuned. This is the Russ Belville Show. We'll be right back. And the phone line is 866-5577. 377.
First-time caller? That's okay. He's a first-time radio host. The winner of the search for the next great progressive talk radio star. This is the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, welcome back to the weekend. It's 50 after the hour, and I'm Radical Russ, your Red State refugee, the weekend voice of the average working-class heroes like you. The people who make this country great. We're in the speed round right now. I got a ton of calls hanging on the line, so I'll try to get to as many as I can. Let's start off with Dave in Cleveland, Ohio. And Dave, Cleveland rocks.
Yeah, exactly. Russ, I agree with everything you said about Clinton and Obama. But you know what worries me the most is Obama doesn't explain much what he's really going to do.
And, I mean, you know, I've heard that a couple of times, people saying it's a little vague and it's a little hope and, you know, and there's not a whole lot of detail in that. But, you know, I think politics is more than the policies. You know, I want the leader to be someone who's inspiring and someone who's visionary. And I know that whoever gets into office is going to have all sorts of the best minds in their cabinet to work out the policy details. I'm not too worried about the policy details. Anything that we go to after George Bush is going to be an improvement in policy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, but, you know, he screwed up everything so bad, I don't know how we're going to get out of it.
Well, you know, I don't know. I just feel that, you know, in this situation, you know, I've seen what I'm going to get from Hillary Clinton. You know, I've seen her support a bill to ban flag burning. I've seen her vote for the authorization to use military force. I've seen her not vote for the Levin Amendment. I've seen her vote for the Kyle Lieberman Amendment to approve going into Iran. I already know what I'm going to get with Hillary Clinton. If I don't know what I'm going to get with Barack Obama, at least I know it's not Hillary Clinton. Thanks for your call, Dave. Appreciate that.
Okay,
let's keep
Russ,
rolling on the phones here. Probably someone who disagrees with me quite a bit. Got Ed in Chicago on the line. Ed, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, hello, Russ. I'm one of these 60-plus guys who's 100% for Hillary Clinton, okay? Believe it or not, I was going to originally back Obama after Kucinich and Edwards got out of the race. But let me tell you what really turned me against him, okay? When he gave that little speech in a debate and he said, I was taking care of the poor when Hillary was working for a prestigious law firm. That really turned me off him. I said, you know, listen, young fella, don't be criticizing this woman when she was out protesting in the 60s against the Vietnam War and protesting for civil rights when you were playing marbles in the kindergarten. That really hit me as a senior citizen, I guess you would call me, 62 years old. I don't need these young guys trying to look down upon us older people like we're some cows to be put down to pasture. To me, it was disrespectful, and my opinion to him at that point was, this is a young punk. And that's really what got me on Hillary Clinton.
That's an interesting point. No, I like that point. That's a very good point, and I agree with you in that perspective, in that it was a bit ageist. I you know, you make a very good point there, Ed. I agree with you on that issue, but I do agree with a lot of the callers who've said that this is an issue about change, and, you know, like we said, you know, I'm a little younger than you, but I need somebody different on my menu for once.
Right, but I think you're going to find a lot of these senior citizen guys, 60 and over, like me, and I'm hearing a lot of white men are going for Barack Obama, but I guarantee you there's a lot of guys, black and white, my age, who are going to go for Hillary Clinton, because we see this guy as disrespectful to our generation, and that's the way we see it, right or wrong.
All right. Well, thanks for your opinion there, Ed. I appreciate that. I can't make a judgment on that. I'm, like I said, I'm a middle-aged guy. I'm just hitting 40. But I wonder if there's anybody else there, you know, in the age brackets a little higher up than mine, if you agree with Ed on that. You know, we don't have a lot of time here left in the show, but if you want to make your opinion known, you can always send me an email at radicalruss@gmail.com. And I'll bring those emails up next show, and let's talk to the older Americans and see what they think about this situation. You know, I have total respect for people that have lived longer life than mine. They've got experience that I don't have, and I love to hear people's opinions on that stuff. Now let's also go back once again to Chicagoland and Preston. Preston, welcome to the Russ Belville Show.
Hey Russ, I think Chicago must love you.
I think so.
We got to. Don't have a lot of alternatives on a Saturday, but loving you. I've gotta say that I've heard a lot of pundits on the left wing radio talk about how, you know, would Hillary Clinton be the Democratic candidate if it wasn't for Bill Clinton? And my question is, would Hillary Clinton even be a registered Democrat if it wasn't for Bill Clinton? You want to talk about, you know, 35 years? Probably about 35 years of real change. 35 years ago, she was a Goldwater girl.
That's right. She was a Goldwater girl.
She's
absolutely
had a lot of change.
I think had Hillary Clinton been president in 1992 rather than Bill Clinton, we'd have had a more liberal administration than Bill Clinton's administration, perhaps. But as to your first question, where would she be if she weren't the husband of the president? You know, that's a tough one. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, Hillary brings out this experience card, but, you know, the experience was 8 years of being the wife of a president. You know, I don't want the wife of the pilot flying my plane.
Exactly. Right? I don't want the surgeon's wife. I'm sure she knows a lot about medicine, but I'll take the surgeon. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate that, Preston. Thanks. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. And thanks to everyone out there in the Chicagoland area. I've just been, I've been informed that we're on the WCPT out there, and that's great to hear. And we're trying to expand to more and more stations. So let your friends and family know that there's this crazy radical guy on the weekends, and you want to hear him on your stations too. That would be great. I'd really appreciate that. Well, it's getting time here. We're going to have to wrap things up a little bit. I did want to speak a little bit about the economic stimulus package that they've just passed. This is the new news that's just come out. Congress yesterday just managed to get this railroaded through. And under the terms of this stimulus package, single filing taxpayers will get a $600 rebate, which phases out after about $75,000 in your income. Married couples will get about $1,200, and parents will get about $300 per child. And while I understand the American people are hurting and the economy's kind of in the toilet right now, I really question the wisdom of how wise this is. It really looks to me just like another run-out-the-clock measure from the Cheney-Burton maladministration. They know the elections are coming up. They're doing what they can to try to soften the economic blows right now so that people won't vote their pocketbook and vote against the Republican nominee. That's my belief here on what's going on with this stimulus package. And if you want to stimulate the American economy, get us out of Iraq. We're spending up to $1 trillion now. $1 trillion that we're going to be spending on this war. How many kids could we feed with $1 trillion? How much health care could we buy Americans with $1 trillion? How many schools could we repair for $1 trillion? You know, every time I've got relatives who work in public schools, and they're having to shell money out of their own pocket to buy paper and pencils for the kids. And that just shows the kids exactly what we think about education. You wonder why kids aren't out getting educations, and you wonder why America lags behind the other countries in math and science. It's because we show our kids how important we think education is. No money for education, but we can spend $250,000 a minute in Iraq. Get us out of Iraq. You'll fix this economy in no time. And I'm not alone in this. 81% of Americans say that the economy is in bad shape. 67% don't believe this stimulus package is going to help one bit. Well, I'm Radical Russ. It's been a fun 2 hours, and thank you for joining me on the show. We'll be back next week with plenty more to talk about, I'm sure. The phone number, or the email address, excuse me, is radicalruss@gmail.com. Check out the website, radicalruss.net. We'll see you next weekend, and take care of each other, America.